In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Christ is risen. Christos Anesti. Al-Messiah, come. This evening begins leave-taking of Pascha. It's the last day of the holy season of Pascha before the Church will celebrate the most important feast of the Ascension. This practice of celebrating a leave-taking is found in the Old Testament. It's also called the after feast, when the troparia and the prayers, the feast day itself, are repeated on the after feast. And the after feast could occur anywhere between 1 to 8 days after the feast day itself. These celebrations are such as the Nativity, Dormition, Theophany, Transfiguration, Ascension, and Pentecost. They all have a leave-taking, and there are other ones as well, but they all have this after feast. Those particularly usually have it 8 days after the feast. Leave-taking of Pascha is a little distinct. It's distinct because of its immense and unique importance. It's celebrated 39 days after the Paschal liturgy. It's the only one that does this. And this liturgy this evening is repeating all the prayers, all the antiphons, all the hymns of the Paschal liturgy, with the exception of the readings. So everything we did Paschal night 39 days ago are repeated this evening. What has been celebrated these last 39 days? Well, literally speaking, tomorrow will be the 39th day. We're into the evening. We're beginning that new day. And what's been celebrated is the life of the risen Lord on earth, those 40 days before he ascended into heaven. And what we're witnessing, what we're reflecting upon, is the disciples' witness and their ability to see the risen Lord. Because if you read very carefully the Greek and the Gospels, the Greek actually says, in a way, that a veil was being removed from their eyes so that they could actually see the risen Lord. The risen Lord is. There's no yesterday, today, or tomorrow in him. He's always now. But it's the apostles, the disciples, who in their darkness had to have the veil removed to see this risen Lord. And that's what was going on for the 40 days. By tomorrow evening, however, the Paschal feast will come to an end as the church begins to celebrate the great feast of the Ascension. And so in a way, the great joy of this season seems to come to an end. The abundance of food that we've been eating these last 39 days is accompanied with the joy of Pascha. As Melkites, particularly, we have not been fasting or abstaining from any foods these entire 39 days, such as on Wednesdays or Fridays. That's going to resume this Friday. We go back to meatless Wednesdays and Fridays. The doors for Melkites, we keep them open all these days. When the Ascension happens, we will close the doors again. And for some of the faithful, this is a cause of sadness, some sorrow. And yet, let us remember this. For the baptized person who has a lived faith, there is never any room or cause for sorrow. No room for it. Let me repeat that. For the person with a lived faith, the baptized person with a lived faith, there is no place for sorrow. The person with a lived faith is always moving from glory to glory. So while at one level, the temporal and earthly level, things will return to a normal again, at a more profound level, however, at the level of the Spirit, at the level of one's life in God, a great spiritual fruit has been born in the heart of the believer. And the celebration of every feast day, especially Pascha, is a new birth. And greater fruit is born. And for this, we are a people of gratitude and joy. One troparion, it was on the fourth Sunday of Pascha, captures the glorious fruit of Pascha. And I quote it, "Taught by Christ, the new and pure way of life, let us all strive to preserve this well to the end." Why? And the troparion tells us that we may receive the coming of the Holy Spirit. End of quote. We hear in the book of Sirach, the Holy Scriptures teaches us, quote, "When a man has finished something, he's just beginning." End of quote. We are just beginning. This is not the end. Indeed, today celebrates not the end of something, but it's celebrating the beginning of something. The objective of every holy day the church celebrates, the objective of every Catholic Christian feast day, is not so much to be caught up in the feast itself, the day itself. It's not in the description of the event being celebrated. No, it is rather what St. Paul teaches us, and I quote him, "In the experience and in the demonstration of the Spirit and of the power, that your faith may not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." End of quote. That's what the feast day is celebrating. The event, the demonstration of the Spirit and the power of God. What the liturgy celebrates tonight is the experience of the power of God in your personal life, in my personal life, and what this power of God is doing to the entire cosmos. Yes, the entire cosmos, because the event of the resurrection and the event of the ascension is transforming and changing radically this world that was affected by sin. The God-man, Jesus of Nazareth, became incarnate not in order to live on this earth and not to organize daily life and to make this world a happy place. No. That is not why God became man. You and I recite every time we say the creed why he became man. It was for us men and for our salvation. The God-man suffered death and he rose. Why? To bring new life to the human person. To bring real life to humanity. To bring an abundance of life, to bring eternal life. Pascha celebrates the mysterious event of the resurrected Jesus the Christ, not only to see a resurrected man from the dead, so that we can be dazzled by this wondrous and miraculous event. No, something that can tickle our eyes and ears when we hear it, like the Greeks. When Paul went to Athens, he preached and they said, oh, this is, quote unquote, very interesting to hear. No. The resurrection of Christ affected something. It did something. It set you and me on the path of eternal life. Set you and me on the path to have life and to have that life abundantly. And while the event of life unto eternal life continues to unfold in space and time, it is already fulfilled because the Lord has ascended into heaven. Nevertheless, for now, you and I experience a cycle of feast and after feast because we live in space and time. But we're always moving. We're always moving forward from glory to glory, from life to greater life, until that final day, the consummation of time itself, when there will be only the feast and no longer no after feast. Christ is risen.